Poet Todd Boss crossed the 35W Bridge shortly before it collapsed on August 1st, 2007. He says his story is very typical.
I mean, there are thousands of people who crossed within 20 minutes, like I did, of the collapse. That's how many, you know, vehicles cross that bridge. It's insane. But I didn't know about the collapse until I got a phone call, like many Minnesotans.
3 years later, Boss wrote a series of poems reflecting on the bridge collapse. The Star Tribune published the poems in their entirety to mark the 5th anniversary of the collapse. Here is one of them.
And where were they going, those 13 gone? Dinner with a friend. Bakery customers all over town. Greek folk dancing lessons beneath St. Mary's Greek Orthodox dome. Home, 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 home.
Other poems cover topics like the site itself, with its exploding flour mill history and Native American roots. Boss also tells the story of the Quebec City Bridge that fell in 1907, killing 75. After the collapse, Canadian engineers received iron rings rumored to be forged from the fallen bridge. The engineers wore the ring as a reminder, dragging it across every draft of their every plan. Each poem is 35 words, one word to a line.
I've always been a fan of the short line in poetry just because I like the visual play that there is on the page when your eye has to sort of dance down the page. And putting these together, one of my first thoughts in building these poems was the sense of dropping, the sense of falling through space. And so putting one word on a line actually sort of mimics the sensation of losing ground.
Boss shared his poetry with Maya Spasova, a London-based artist he met in Chicago. She started thinking about an art installation on the river that would complement the poems.
There'll be 35 oversized life rings floating in the Mississippi River in the slow-moving water beneath the Stone Arch Bridge leading downriver toward the 35W Bridge. So some of these will be 15 feet in diameter. They're big. They're oversized. And they're going to be painted white, but then they'll also be dusted with a fluorescent blue that will make them glow in the dark at night.
Passersby who see the art installation can dial a number to hear Boss's poetry. They can also hear oral histories that Boss and Spasova collected at the Minneapolis Central Library. The artists put out an open call for people to come to the library and share their experience of the collapse.
One man got in the booth and wouldn't talk at all. Another man wanted to tell us for the first time that he had been trapped under part of the bridge. He had never come forward. He was shaking and telling us the story about how he got trapped while he was crossing underneath the bridge on his moped, and that when he sort of extricated himself, he got up on the bridge deck and pulled someone to safety, then pulled his moped out from the rubble and drove it home or walked it home. I'm not sure either which way, but never came out and told anyone. Wasn't part of the settlement. You know, hasn't been counted as a survivor. Another woman came in with a friend and related how she had gone underwater in her car and was trapped in her car, and what that was like, seeing lights, you know, and losing consciousness, actually, and then having someone suddenly, you know, pulling her up through the water to air. So yeah, lots of amazing things.
For Boss, the 35W Project is a way to contemplate a history that's easily forgotten on the morning commute.
The new bridge is so glib, you know, it just feels like we're glossing over history whenever we ride it. And so I think that's something, too, that I hope a lot of Minnesotans can think about. You know, just the experience of crossing over that site really twice a day for a lot of Minnesotans.
This is Michelle Brook for KFAI.
10,000 fresh voices on KFAI is made possible by listeners like you and the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.